Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to the Vines this morning. As to those online as well, we welcome you and hope you feel part of this place as much as those of us who are actually here. You are welcome indeed. We hope you've all had a good week. Have we had a good week? There's been some nods. For those who haven't had a good week, have you felt the presence of God around you despite all that? That's what I like to see, because he is with us regardless. Let us stand. Let us worship this wonderful Lord God. Let's stand and worship. Presence this morning.
Holy One, Holy One, O Creator.
Declare this morning that you reign. We look around and we wonder a little where you are sometimes, but we understand you are King of heaven and earth. You reign and you trust your people to do your work here on earth as much as your angels. Lord, forgive us as a country, forgive us as a community of the world, that we don't see your potential, your vision of what we can be. Forgive us, Lord, that we don't grab that and work hard for it as a community of people on your earth. And Lord, we as individuals understand your blessings. We see them day by day, week by week. Lord, we thank you. We do not live in those countries where soldiers walk down the streets with guns, where people can't sleep for fear of bombs dropping. Lord, we are so blessed. Forgive us our whinging. Forgive us our complaints. Lord, we know we don't speak up when we should. We ignore opportunities to share your love. And Lord, we speak too quickly, judge too fast. We understand we are far from perfect. And yet we understand you still love us. And we are in awe. Thank you for your Son, his sacrifice, and our forgiveness. Help us to be better ambassadors for you, to show your love better. We are in awe. And Lord, yes, we do love you. Forgive us when we don't show that. Thank you. I live. welcome again to you all. And it is good to see this community. It is good to be part of this community. There are a few things coming up at the end of the year. First of all, the 26th, there is a shared lunch after the congregational meeting. Now, the congregational meeting is very important. One of the things that is going to happen, of course, is the election of elders and councillors. So please read the notice in the newsletter. Prayerfully consider if there is someone around you that you believe should be part of this leadership team. Prayerfully consider and approach them, or approach one of the other elders that we currently have. You will notice in the newsletter there is a list of names as to who currently hold that position, those positions. And if you feel called, then speak to someone about it. It doesn't hurt to talk to someone and find out whether that calling is real. The other thing, of course, is the Christmas market, which is coming up. There's a lot of different notices in the newsletter about the Christmas market. But one of the things is we have some of these produced. Now, we'd like you to grab one or two or more. They're for shops. So if you have shops and places that you think would display this, that would be a wonderful thing. So please grab some of these out and approach stores and places like that, community areas that may display them. And think, again, consider how you may be involved in the Christmas market on the 2nd of December. I think that's about it. Thank you. Let's come before God in prayer for others. By the time I made it to university, self-doubt was part of who I was. So much so that when I arrived, I went to see... Heavenly Father, we have already welcomed you into this place and into our hearts. Then later, and we know that you welcome us into your place and into your kingdom. This was a view openly and at times... Lord, we are acutely aware of all that is going on around the world that is just honestly mind-boggling. We can't comprehend the hate involved, the quest for power involved. We ask you to protect Ukraine. We ask you to give them the assistance they need, the hope, the courage that they need as a country. We ask you to work in Russia that things may become easier. Lord, I don't know what the word is. Bless that country and its leadership that they may tune in to you. And Lord, as for Israel and Gaza and Palestine, what a mess. So many people dying. But no one really knows the answer. And it is so complex. We pray for those Israeli hostages and their families who despair at seeing them again. Lord, protect those hostages and give them hope. We pray for those living on the Gaza Strip, Lord, who fear bombing at any time. Lord, help them to escape, to find shelter. We pray for the leaders on both sides, Lord, that they will come to some sort of sensible arrangement. We do not understand the hate, and we ask you to work in their hearts. Give them compassion for those who are really suffering in this. Lord, that is all we can do. Open our hearts and minds to anything further, we pray. Lord, we pray for our own country. We thank you for its stability. We pray for our leaders at federal, state, and local level. Lord, may each of them find rest. May each of them find wisdom and unity with others. And may those who hear your voice have the courage to speak. Speak your words. When I was a
teenager and he sensed that I was doubting myself.
Lord, there are many we know who are unwell. We continue to pray for David Pryor. Lord, heal his body. And may his mind and spirit know your love, the love of his family, and the love of this church. Bring him to health and bring him back to us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done within him in the last 6-8 months. Bless him and his family. Give them peace and comfort. For others we know who are unwell, who have undergone medical procedures or who are struggling with their health, Lord, we pray for them and lift them by name to you now.
Could this be why so many of our targeted efforts to encourage women to study physics have failed?
Lord, for those who are struggling in their lives, perhaps with depression, with marriages which are unhealthy or struggling, with unemployment or financial issues. Lord, all these things that distract us from you and distract us from the important things in life. But Lord, weigh down, we ask you to give them comfort and hope. For the church leadership here, Lord, we pray for wisdom and unity. For Trevor Clark, we pray too for wisdom, for rest. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in bringing him here and others to fill the spots in this church. We know your presence in this place. And we thank you. Continue to bless us that we may be a blessing to your community. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship. And the offering will come forward after this. You remain seated for the moment, and we will stand at the end. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We understand we stand on holy ground, for you are here. For all that you are and all you have given us, we thank you. We ask that you accept these gifts, these returns of what you have given us, that you may use them in this place and further afield for your kingdom. And Lord, we offer ourselves, not as perfect people, but as willing people, to do your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning's reading is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 13, the new life in Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God had assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Very recently, Marge and I shared some sad times. We attended a number of funerals for very long-term, very good friends. I guess many of you, if not all of you, have had similar experiences to those that we had. That is to say goodbye to friends, a number of friends, in a short time, and you've found it very, very draining. One of the good things, though, that comes out of it is that you find new light, in that you have discovered things about these people you've known for a long time, but things that you've never known before about them. It may be that there's special awards they've received. It may be a simple thing like where they were born, or it might be places that they've travelled to throughout the world. And these come to you as something new about someone you've known a long time. Such is life. For all of us, there are times when new things happen to us. Things come along and we try to cope with them as best we can. Sometimes those things come in a harsh way. They come out of the blue. They tax us. And we do our best to deal with them. And so we make our decisions. Sometimes there's a warmth in what happens. Something that really makes us happy. This new thing that comes to us, and so a change comes into our life. I'm glad in the sad times we shared about those people that the people conducting the funerals brought to our attention some important things about the lives of those people, about how they made decisions, what had driven them. And that's very important. As we go about life, we might well ask ourselves the same question. What is it that has driven us to make these decisions? And so we find that as we discover that something about ourselves, we're really discovering who we are. The decisions are made, but it's how they're made that becomes the important thing. And so, because we're all facing these things, each one of us have pressures that come upon us, I came to the Romans chapter 12 as a source for the sermon today. And I hope that I bring some happy thoughts, as well as perhaps bring some other wondrous things to you about how you've attacked the things that you've looked at. I might say that Romans chapter 12 is one of those chapters that seems to jump out at us. It's one of those special ones. I'm wanting to particularly concentrate on verses 11 and 12. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. These seem to be important things to me as we face those pressures that come upon us. They're signs along the way for us to grasp at. Now, Romans can be a difficult letter. Scholars point out that we haven't really understood, when I say we, the world hasn't understood Romans for the early part of its life. It's been misinterpreted and misunderstood. Martin Luther brought new light to it in the 1600s, but some suggest it's not until the 20th century that it's been understood more adequately. So here we're amongst the people who can understand it better. And sometimes we question it as we read through it. I must say that that particular chapter that was read for us today is important to me, because once upon a time, a little time ago, I could translate that from Greek into English. Don't ask me to do it today. Let me just cope with it in English, because there are many things about the Romans that I find difficult, and I wonder whether you find it difficult as well. But I'm also aware that there are some things that seem to jump out of it which seem to be very relevant today. What are the marks of a Christian? And there they are. They're jumping from when Paul wrote it to today, and there they are for us. So despite these difficulties, I encourage you to read and read and read again chapter 12, what it says. Now remember, Paul was under guard when he wrote this particular letter. Scholars disagree as to who it was sent to, but I suggest chapter 12 may have been sent specifically to you and to me. So as decisions face us, as change comes or is thrust on us, here are some signs to make us ready for whatever comes our way. But firstly, I want to make this clear. Paul is writing to people who call themselves Christians. He is not writing to established churches like ours and those dotted around Adelaide and country South Australia. These people met in small groups, probably in secret for fear of persecution, and that persecution persisted for the church until about 300 AD. These words are for people who want to follow Jesus in a hostile environment. And that's what makes them relevant today, for people who want to make the church relevant in a hostile environment. So the first sign I refer you to today is when Jesus sets the task, do not lack in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. His call then, as today, is that faith is not meant for the hip pocket or the handbag. Faith is to be worn on the sleeve. It is to be part of our outward living. His word is not for people who want to live comfortably in the church pew, but those who want to live it out in a needy world. Immediately I thought of this passage, I found my mind going to Francis of Assisi. He received a special call in his church, the church, little church at San Damiano in Italy. The call to him was quite clear. Repair my church. He took cloth from his father, who was a trader in textiles, without permission, and used the proceeds to fix the building at San Damiano. But Francis learned two special things. The first one is don't steal. I say that particularly because those who wrote his biography go at length to tell the repercussions from this particular thing. His father wasn't a great lover of the church. But the second thing he learned was that God's call was much wider for him, as it was a call to repair the church of his time. And so he went about it with zeal. He walked that road and lived it out amongst the people. He taught by his presence. His zeal never flagged. The second person that came to mind, and probably Trevor pushed this because he mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer last week. I'm reminded of him because he was a person who worked, whose zeal never flagged, who was found working right through his life with his people, whom he loved very much. And just before the Second World War commenced, people were, and he was in America at the time lecturing, the people there invited him to stay because they realised what would happen to him if he returned to Germany. But his zeal for his church and his country and his people was too great. He returned to Germany and eventually lost his life to the Nazi machinery. Now, Trevor reminded us last week that whilst he was in prison, he wrote letters and papers which were gathered together and have been brought together as a book. And in it, we have been pressed to understand how important it is to understand that we must be careful of cheap grace. So as he languished in prison, and he didn't languish for long, he helped us to understand the importance of the zeal we must have in our faith. When I came to this point in going through things, I realised I used two men. And I thought, well, surely there are women out there, and of course Mother Teresa comes particularly to mind in her wonderful work, her zeal amongst the people in India, particularly helping them and being a person of God in that community. I also remember Saint Teresa of Avila, the founder of the Carmelite order. And when we visited Avila, we saw how she was revered there for her great work that she had done, particularly work in the Counter-Reformation. And I was taken aback a bit to go into the museum and see a mummified finger of her that was in a glass case. And I thought to myself, I think there might be better ways to remember a person than chopping their finger off and mummifying it. But nevertheless, that's what they did for her. For them, she was a great person and certainly was someone who didn't fag and zeal. So we come to the next point that Paul is drawing our attention to. He says, rejoice in hope. Now, don't interpret this as meaning, I hope things will work out, as the word is currently used. I hope my team wins. I hope Aunt Flo remembers me in her will. If I say, I hope that Marge serves me a T-bone with trimmings tonight, firstly, she won't. And secondly, none of these ideas of hope captures the biblical meaning of the word. I even remember the Greek word for it, elpis. And to quote one of the theologians of the past, Alan Richardson, from his book on biblical meanings, this is the way he describes it, this word hope. It is through and through eschatological, always bearing reference to the return of the Lord Jesus at the end of the age. It talks about trust we can have in God. So Paul suggests to his readers and to us that we're able to rejoice in one very real certainty, that whatever bad things are now, you may hold in your heart that God has this world and its destiny in his hands. Now, I may have told you this story before, but it's worth repeating. I heard it from Jim Wallace, an American minister who's worth listening to. His voice stands out against the very conservative Church of the South in America, but he told this story about a black lady, a widow, who was living in the terrible slums of South Africa. After many years, she'd saved enough of her meagre income to buy some bricks to improve her home. She ordered and paid for 100. However, the builder delivered only 60. When she remonstrated with him, he told her that's all she was getting. Her response was, I don't know what will happen to you, but my God takes care of the widows and orphans. Some little time later, the builder returned with the missing bricks, with the comment, "I don't know what you did, lady, but things have gone wrong for me since last time I was here." Wallace pointed out that the woman's son heard all of this and learned from it. This matter of trusting in God. He learned to trust God and served him well. His name was Alan Busack, leader of the South African Council of Churches, who worked tirelessly with Archbishop Tutu against the apartheid. Jim Wallace heard this story from Alan Busack himself. "We are counseled to put our trust in God, a sure sign along the way." Finally, in my trio, I was always taught to have 3 points of in a sermon, 3 fives of 15, plus an introduction and a conclusion. Finally, in my trio for Romans 12, Paul suggests that we persevere in prayer. I'm sure that Paul was wanting the recipients of the Roman letter and each of us to talk intimately with God. He surely sees the need in all our worries and good times to find opportunity to be at one with the one who loves us deeply. Prayer is, amongst other things, an opportunity to be ourselves. It becomes a time to vent our anger before God when we do not understand life for us or his will for us. It is a time certainly to be joyous with God, a sharing of our true selves. It's a time for highs, it's a time for lows. A time to find expression through the words of others when we find it helpful. For example, from Francis, already mentioned before, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace." We can use his words as we seek to find meaning for life and to fulfill our calling. Or the words of the French fisherman, "My God, my boat is so small and your sea is so big," when we find that life seems too monstrous for us. At a time when world disasters seem overwhelming and tears flow as we witness the death or injury of little children, so relevant now. At a time for celebrating happiness, at a time when we don't know what to do, at a time when we've not got words and we just rest in God's presence. I surely felt this when I saw the Iguazu Falls in South America. So we are called to prayer, a sign for our time and certainly for change. In conclusion, we live in a strange world in so many ways at this time. We also live in a world where we'll eventually face challenges. And so a word for us in these uncertain times surely is, never lack in zeal for your love for God and people. Remember, our ultimate destiny lies with God. Live your life in companionship, in the companionship of the God who loves you more than you can ever conceive. These are signs for the way.
so much to think about and so much encouragement of the signs along the way. The hope we have in the knowledge that we are in God's hands. The perseverance of prayer for that stuff we don't understand. So much. But in all this, God is faithful. If you wish to talk to anyone about what you've heard this morning or wish for some prayer, then please come to the front and someone will talk with you or pray with you. Or find someone in whose faith you trust, whom you see and believe, and talk with them. Ask if they will pray with you. Meanwhile, great is our God. Great is his faithfulness to us. Let's stand. Let's declare with feeling. Great is thy faithfulness.
Grace of Christ uphold you, and the love of God enfold you. May the Holy Spirit guide you, and all joy and peace betide you, now and always. Amen.
Mm-hmm.